The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Tuesday, May the 31st, 2022, in the year of our Lord. Today on May 31, 1889, 2,000 people in Jonestown, Pennsylvania perished when the South Fork Dam collapsed, sending 20 million tons of water rushing through the small town. Today in 1790, President George Washington signed into law the first U.S. Copyright Act. Today in 1859, the Big Ben Clock Tower in London went into operation, chiming for the first time. Today in 1962, former Nazi official Adolf Eichmann, he was hanged in Israel a few minutes before midnight. They hanged him for his role in the Holocaust. Today in 1977, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, 3 years in the making, was completed. I remember that well. Everybody was yelling on the left that we were about to kill the polar bears and isolate the reindeer, and Alaska would never be the same because of the pipeline. Some years later, very few years later, there were documentaries made showing more polar bears, bigger and fatter and healthier than ever before, and the reindeer herds had doubled. Their migration was not affected at all by that pipeline, some of which is elevated, as you may know. It was the same people that are telling us now we have but a few months to get rid of all of our energy sources and hope for some wind to turn our little turbines. Today in 2009, Melvina Dean, the last survivor of the 1912 sinking of the Titanic, died in Southampton, England. She was 97 years old. 1 year ago today, China's ruling Communist Party made a big announcement. They said that beginning today, that was 1 year ago today, beginning today, that all couples would be allowed to have three children instead of two. I wonder if kids that sit in the classrooms that imbibe socialism and Marxism day in and day out in the classroom, I wonder if they actually know where that leads. Well, this is part of where it leads. Everybody can now have three children instead of two. Thank God for freedom. We still have it, but it's under assault in America for sure. I noticed today that Clint Eastwood, the actor, he's 92 years old today. I mentioned him only because I know he's very pro-Second Amendment. He was pro-Ronald Reagan. He's pro a number of issues, not all, but some issues that we conservatives hold very dearly and hold importantly. 92 years old. Wonder what it feels like to be old. Did you hear about Pope Francis? This is not a criticism. I know a lot of Catholics listen to this program. It isn't. It's just an observation, but I'm a protester. I'm a Protestant. But Pope Francis promoted the bishop who was in favor of allowing Pelosi and Biden to receive communion. Remember that? I mentioned it on this program here a week or so ago. Corleone in the San Francisco area, which is, I think he's an archbishop, if I'm not mistaken. That's my memory. He sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and said that she would no longer be welcomed to receive communion or the sacraments. And why? And he said the reason why is she's a very public figure, very influential because of her role as Speaker of the House. And she's, you know, constantly promoting abortion, which is in stark contrast to what her church believes. And so he said he wouldn't do it. Well, this guy in Washington, D.C. then spoke up, this bishop, and he said, no, he said, you come here. He said, we'll give you the sacraments. He said, that's not a problem at all. The Eucharist is available to you. We extend the Eucharist, and so on and so on. So anyway, Nancy did. She went to that church instead of her own church, I presume, in San Francisco, in that she's back and forth almost daily sometimes on, of course, we're paying the bill as taxpayers. But anyway, the guy that came out the loudest in opposition to this idea that she was, because of her hypocrisy, she shouldn't be given communion, was elevated over the weekend, yesterday, by the Pope. He elevated him to a cardinal. So if you're a Catholic, you can sort all that out. I'm not sure how or why all that works, but apparently it does. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Many did not. Many traveled. 39.4 million people traveled by car this weekend. They had predicted about 35 million. They were close, but there were more than even expected by, I think it was AAA that made that forecast here last week one day. 39.4 million got in their car and took off and went somewhere over the weekend. But it was also a very bloody weekend. I want to mention this in passing. A string of shootings took place all across the country, we're learning this morning. It was the bloodiest Memorial Day weekend in history that left multiple people dead, dozens more injured. It spanned Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, a federal holiday yesterday, as you know. There was a total 352 shootings occurred, according to this nonprofit research organization. It's called Gun Violence Archive. I've seen them around. I don't know a lot about them, but it's out there, and there are news sources that I trust are trusting them, so they must know that they're accurate in their reporting. The shootings took place across states in Florida, Louisiana, Arizona, California, and Pennsylvania. 46 people were shot in Chicago. And Chicago, along with California, has the strictest, most invasive gun rules and gun laws, anti-gun laws, in our nation. Why isn't that working? Nobody's even asking the question because they don't want to know the answer. Gun laws aren't working, and they won't work. Because it's a matter of the heart. And we're going to eventually, this is going to come to a showdown, I can assure you. And it's coming, I believe, coming very soon. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has introduced a new bill yesterday in their parliament. He said the new bill will stop the import, purchase, and sale of handguns, as well as prevent their transfer across Canada. In his government's latest move to restrict firearms. He announced a new piece of legislation yesterday afternoon at a press conference in Ottawa, and he said it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, he said, we're capping the market for handguns. He said, as we see gun violence continue to rise, it is our duty to keep taking action. That's kind of where it's wanting to go here in America. Our President Biden and others, his cohorts, agree with Trudeau. That's what they want as well. And they're not really timid in saying what they want. President Biden took the opportunity yesterday on Memorial Day. I don't think he knew the stats at the time. I mean, they probably weren't published yet, that I just read to you about all of the shootings that took place around the nation. But he pushed for more gun control yesterday. It was a time to remember those who had given their lives for our country, but he took that time in great part to talk about gun control. He didn't call it that, but that's what it is. He told the press yesterday, our president, he said the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute. It isn't fixed. It can mean different things. It's evolving, just like the Constitution. He spoke to reporters about gun control. He falsely claimed again that Americans were unable to purchase a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed, despite being repeatedly fact-checked. Even the Washington Post and PolitiFact, and they're way out there on the left. They're saying, well, that's not exactly true. We don't know where he got that idea, but people actually could buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed. The president went on, President Biden, you can't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed. You couldn't go out and purchase a lot of weapons. He recalled a briefing that he had when he was a senator on bullet calibers and the damage they caused to the human body. He went into great detail on this. He said the .22 caliber bullet will lodge in the lungs and you can't get it out. But he said a 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body. Several people said, no, we're experts. That isn't actually true, but it is true that he said that. So I guess that makes it true in his mind and in the mind of the progressive. Biden also referred to a quote from Thomas Jefferson yesterday who said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. He tied it in with his argument about the Second Amendment. He said there was a while, this is our president talking, he said there was a while there where people were saying, you know, the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots and what we have to do is to be able to take on the government when they're wrong. This is the president of the United States blubbering to the press. And then he argued, in order for citizens to hold the government accountable with equal levels of force, Americans are going to have to own a fighter jet or a tank. That's where he's going. That's what he has in mind for America. That's his view of America, of our country. It gets so depressing sometimes. These people, why can't he focus his attention on creating liberties and protecting the liberties? That's what government is for. The Bible says that's what government is for. Their job is to protect God-given freedom and liberty. Not to be shrinking around in the shadows all the time, trying to figure out how to take yet another liberty or freedom away from the people. I don't know why we elect these people, but we do, or did. I doubt that we actually did, to be honest with you. But one thing I know for sure, I am certain, the Bible is the rock. It never changes. It's not evolving. It doesn't adapt to the times. The times ultimately adapt to the Bible, or they're crushed. Psalm 42:11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know the verse from memory. Isaiah wrote these words. He probably needed to hear them himself, but they were inspired by God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the word of the Lord. We need the word of the Lord daily, often, to be refreshed. But we also need to be informed. We've got to know what's going on in our country, in our communities, in our neighborhood. God does not want his people to not be informed. His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God is a God who wants us to know things. That's why he created us the way he did, so that we can know and learn and retain. And remember, that's why we are who we are. He created us in his image, in his likeness, male and female. That's right, male and female, to be just like him, sort of. We are broken. We are sinful. He is not. But he sent his only begotten Son to rescue us from ourselves so that we might have eternal life and we can be restored into relationship with the God who created us. Boy, it's great to be a Christian. I can't even imagine living our life without that relationship with Jesus Christ, without Christianity. It is the hope of glory, the hope of now. It is the rock on which we stand, and our world spins out of control. I want to take a moment and thank you for supporting this ministry. It's not like most of the programs you're listening to on your radio that you're listening to now, or on a podcast, or on a rerun, or whatever. It's not like that. I understand that. We're not trying to be different. We are trying to do what I believe God has called me to do at this point in my life. Many of you who do support us and listen regularly, you understand that. I've talked about it very openly. Been an ordained minister my entire adult life, youth pastor for years, a real pastor, senior pastor. Been involved in missionary work all over the world. But at this time in my life, I believe God has spoken to me to do what we're doing here. And I come to you, not daily, but periodically on this program, to tell you that I could not be here without you. Thank you for standing with me. And thank you to some of you who are considering it. We need your help. We need you to stand with us to do this because we are having an impact. There is no question about that. Not everyone agrees with this, but many do. But we're having an impact. Thank you for making that possible with your support. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. You can go to our website, faithandfreedom.us, and you can contribute online there as well. There's a tab at the top of the page, first page that comes up. The Black Student Union at the University of Washington, they want the statue of President George Washington removed from the campus. They don't want him there anymore. The university is named after him. So is the state in which the university resides. Student activists recently rallied against this statue. It's a big statue. I've seen it a number of times. I mean, it's like really big in the middle of the campus there. It's on a pretty high pedestal. I don't know how tall George is, but he's big. It's not obtrusive. I mean, regardless of what it is, the structure of it is not obtrusive or intrusive at all, but it's there and you can see George Washington. Nobody's had a problem with that until later years. Student activists rallied against the statue of the nation's first president, the namesake of the state and the university. The rally, of course, also called for police abolition, just like slavery. Seattle Pacific University is also at war again with itself over sexual behavior, once again trying to find its true identity. Christian University, Seattle Pacific University. American education and public education and private, in some cases, unfortunately, has been hijacked. I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. This rally that included the typical list of Black Lives Matter and leftist chants, I mean, there's the one they do everywhere they go. It's kind of like their mantra, their theme song or something. They go, hey, hey, ho, ho, these racist cops have got to go. And they were shouting that around George Washington. I'm not sure what George can do to get rid of the cops, nor would he do so if he could, but nonetheless, that was what they were doing. They were also chanting, people united will never be divided. They marched throughout the University of Washington campus with this the other day. Students frequently graffiti the statue of George Washington, according to the campus newspaper. I was reading it last night a little bit. In fact, they say it's never without graffiti. It always has graffiti. Somebody spray paints all over it, messages, whatever. And the maintenance people at the University of Washington come by with their power washers and wash it off, usually most immediately. But before the water's dry on the pedestal, there's somebody out there with a spray can defacing George Washington again. student newspaper, one of them said that one of the articles said there's obviously some meaningful intentions behind some of the graffiti, but for such an inclusive school, our faculty leaders do nothing to support the conversation behind the messages or to raise awareness to why students feel the need to bring attention to certain things. They'd rather just pretend it never happened. Translated into big boy talk rather than contemplation, which is so common on campuses. What this kid is saying, whoever wrote this, student, what they're saying is, yeah, this school is very inclusive and they're going in the right direction, but they're not nearly far enough to the left. And they won't even address the real issues because they think if they just are silent and pretend it never happened, it'll just go away. Well, the University of Washington students are not the only ones that say they're embarrassed to be associated with an institution named for a founding father. All across the country, in our own U.S. capital, George Washington University, which is also named for George Washington. You guessed it, they're calling for that university to be renamed as well. The student details his version on this 200-year-old history of George Washington University. He says in their campus newspaper, these problems are rooted in systemic racism, institutional inequality, and white supremacy, with the solution being to hire a black university president and to decolonize university curriculum. So if we can just hire a black president for a university, and if we can just decolonize university curriculum, I'm not sure what all that means, but I have a pretty good idea of what most of it means. The student then demands that the controversial Winston Churchill Library, it has to go. The university's contentious colonial moniker must go. Even the university's name, the mascot, the motto, all has to be gone. It has to be replaced. This student says the hypocrisy of George Washington University in not addressing these issues is an example of how black voices and black grievances go ignored and highlights the importance of strong black leadership. Do any of us remember that it was just some months ago when the mayor of New York City was out there with a roller, a paint roller, along with a bunch of activists painting a whole city block street in Manhattan with Black Lives Matter? Do they know that for 2 years, the left in leadership in cities, Seattle, Portland, across the nation, stood by and hummed a tune while they destroyed the city night after night after night, and very few, if any, were arrested, and even fewer were retained after they were arrested? Do they realize how much attention they do have? The same student says Frederick Douglass, a statesman, political scientist, a diplomat, a feminist, and an abolitionist, is a perfect example of a possible namesake to replace George Washington. His work for social reform, equal justice, makes him an ideal candidate for a new name. Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Malcolm X. Wasn't Malcolm X, no, they're suggesting Malcolm X would be a good name for George Washington University. Wasn't Malcolm X at one point in his life involved in drug dealing, illegal gambling, and pimping? Yes, he was. I know. I've been around a while. I remember when President Trump claimed that progressives would not stop at demanding the removal of the Confederate statues and the memorials. Remember that? Just a matter of months ago, a couple of years ago, President Trump came out seeming to be talking off the top of his head, but obviously he had thought through this, and he was right. They're doing what he said they were going to do. He said it will be a matter of time, until, he said, these activists will be demanding that we remove George Washington and Abraham Lincoln from our culture. The Washington Post ran a story the next day ridiculing Trump, making fun of him, as if he was some unhinged idiot that didn't know what he was talking about. I'm not suggesting that Trump was always right, but he was right on that, that's for sure. People who have not been taught an accurate narrative about history always end up with distorted views and values. Yeah, they're after George Washington, not only on the East Coast, but right here, close to home. Seattle Pacific University, they're having their problem. Seattle's King 5 TV News broadcast this teaser. They said regarding Seattle Pacific University, SPU, they said, quote, two SPU board members resign after the controversial decision regarding same-sex sexual activity. The board voted to keep employee conduct expectations that ban employees from same-sex sexual activity, extramarital sexual activity, and cohabitating before marriage. King 5 reported that SPU employees are expected to, quote, refrain from sexual behavior that is inconsistent with the university's understanding of biblical standards. King 5 said it's unclear whether the resignations were a result of the decision to maintain the employee policy. Norland said she was unable, that's a spokesperson, unable to speak for the board members. That's going on as we speak. As you know, if you listen to this program, I have a history there. I served at one time, some years ago, I served as the special assistant to the president at that university. Those demands have included that board members disclose how they voted on these issues. The Associated Students of Seattle Pacific are also asking the Washington Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, to investigate the board's actions because they voted against what the students wanted them to vote against. It's an amazing thing that we're seeing take place in our world today, but it comes down to this. We have discarded the Bible. We have put away God's natural order for human sexuality and human relationships, for family, for procreation. We put all this aside, and we've said, no, we have a better way. It's not unlike the message that Satan had back in his day when he had his fall that's recorded in the Old Testament. It's not ours to decide what part of God's word should be followed and which part should be cast aside in the name of progress. We can do it, but the consequences are horrendous. We live in a world today that's been taught that there are no consequences. In today's culture, diversity, equity, inclusion, that's what it's really about. Truth is merely a prop. Once again, once we align ourselves with truth, incoming students and their parents know exactly what to expect when they enroll. This is chaos because the board isn't standing up. They're trying to, some of them, but they're not standing up for what they claim to believe. Thanks for being with me today. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.